Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. And Bob, I wanted to start today on a sad note. There's a man who, everybody in Western Pennsylvania in sports, particularly high school sports, knew for a long, long time for the great work that he did for the Pittsburgh Press, later the Trib, and that's Rich Emmert, passed away over maybe about 3 or 4 days ago. And I was on a golf course with, of all people, Mike White, another high school writing luminary in this town. And Rich, if you're a coach out there who's been around for any period of time, maybe somebody who played high school sports around here, can only imagine how many people out there did that are still here, then you knew of Rich Emmert from the Beaver County Times to the Pittsburgh Press and the Trib. And he was a really good guy, an unbelievably hard worker, and someone who was also really instrumental. You and I and Kabali were just talking, you know, and I'm sure so many people out there can relate. Limits you as well. There's 2, 3, 4 people who help determine with little twists of fate where our career goes. And Rich was one for me. I was working at the Valley News Dispatch, probably 1994, 95, as a copy editor, my first full-time job. And I get a call one night. I had known Rich from covering some high school sporting events. And he said, "Do you want to come over to the Trib?" You never forget those moments because it's a turning point in your career. I'm like, "Yeah, well, I get to write." He said, "Yeah, you'll be in charge of," it was called the North Zone Edition then, all North high school sports. I could do the layout and write the stories. But the point is that when I went over to the Trib, it wasn't long before I was covering the Penguins as a beat writer. Like, all of a sudden, everything changed. And I'll forever be grateful to Rich for spotting something in me. And then we worked side by side at the Trib for a couple of years, and was out to his house, met his wonderful family, played basketball with him in the 3-on-3 Station Square. What did they call that? What was it called? That 3-on-3 tournament that they used to have.
I thought it was just the 3-on-3 tournament.
The Gus Macker one was in Buffalo. This one had a different name, but man, he put that knee brace on and he was an unbelievable competitor. So to all of Rich's friends and family, condolences from here. And I'll never, ever forget that guy.
No, he was instrumental in a lot of local sports in Beaver County. That's where I first met him. Growing up there, I used to read stuff that he'd, and one day saw him and introduced myself to him. Always very helpful about anything. Advice. Sometimes it was pretty interesting. He had a good sense of humor, and he was also a very good judge of character. And he would come up with certain nicknames, sort of like you, Joe. And
yes, he would, and he had some great ones.
He had some good ones. So
incredibly quick-witted. We had some really good laughs. And he was tough, too. We would butt heads over at the Trib. The offices were where Buca Di Beppo later went and has since just closed. Those were the Trib offices. Right in there. So you're right on top of each other. Me and him,
Those are good, healthy conversations, though. And he wasn't shy about telling you how he felt, but he welcomed you or anyone else who had a different opinion, and you just kind of, you know, figure it all out as you go. So how old was he? Do you know?
I haven't talked
to Rich in quite a while. So
74.
Oh, and too young.
And Rich suffered a stroke many years ago, and it was just so tragic to see someone. I think he was training for a marathon at the time, if I'm not mistaken, someone who was so passionate about sports, about running, things like that, and of course about covering them, that it was so tragic. And I didn't see him then for many, many years. And the Post Gazette alumni, really it's Pittsburgh sports journalists alumni, have some dinners from time to time. And I saw him about maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and he was in a wheelchair from the stroke, mm-hmm. but was unbelievably high-spirited and still had that sharp wit. And it was so great to sit down with him and talk about old times. Age 74. I'm reading right now, graduated from Beaver Falls High School in 1968. I know that's he went there right around the time that Ron right. Beaver Falls, exactly. Although Ron went to Blackhawk.
Yeah, but still, Beaver Falls, you know everyone. You
right.
know,
exactly. Yes, you would know, right? What part exactly are you from, Bob?
From Hopewell Township.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone, especially with the Beaver County Times, that was the newspaper that everybody read back in that area, and Rich was a big part of it. So, and like I said, got to meet him. I did a couple of play-by-play innings with him. I invited him on. We were doing baseball at the time. And I think it was Hopewell-Aliquippa match, you know, those two teams going at it. Joe Colella was the head coach of Hopewell, legendary coach there. And he would come on and just add a lot of good, colorful moments to what we were trying to do.
It says here, studied at Geneva College, worked at the Beaver County Times, the Press, the Post Gazette, the Valley News, the Tribune Review, covered the Steelers during their Super Bowl years in the 70s, and is survived by his wife of 51 years, Linda, daughter Jennifer. Son Matthew, sister Karen, sister Joanne, three nephews, three nieces, and several great nieces and nephews. And I bet he was a great uncle to have, husband, father. So RIP, Rich Emmer.
Very, very good man.
Yes.
So sad.
And again, condolences to the whole family. Really sad. But Bob, isn't that the way it goes in this business? And I guess in every one of them, even Cabali had a moment of reflection there where he said, you sometimes just sit and wonder, what would have happened if I took that route?
Or if I didn't meet this guy and he wasn't instrumental in helping me, what would it do? That's why I always tell people, these connections you make are very important, especially for young people
for
in this business.
For sure.
You never know when one of them is going to be able to be in a position to help you. You don't want them to hurt you, so don't burn those bridges.
Yeah.
Just keep those things in mind as you go on, because they're very important.
Yeah, I've wondered, why did he call me that night? And I guess it's because we had covered a couple events together. And he thought that there was something there. You know what I mean? He spotted something in me. And that, you just never forget that.
So a savvy young news hound.
A young news hound, perhaps. Maybe. But it's for everybody. Where would we be? Like, what was your alternative? What did you study in college? Did you study journalism and communications? Yeah, is always what you wanted to do?
Always. I wanted to play golf professionally was what I wanted to do. I played baseball also before I had a couple of open heart surgeries, and when that happens and cracks your chest, things change. And so then my father used to tell me too, this is your passion, follow it somehow, some way. You know, if you love sports this much, you got to do something. So I did.
Yeah.
I went Penn State for 2 years, Point Park for 2 years, and I majored in broadcast journalism, political science as a minor, all that stuff, just looking for opportunities. But as much good that came out of classroom stuff, better stuff came out of internships and meeting people. That's
right.
Where it all starts.
Who was instrumental in you in sort of turning your career toward where it went?
I got a first job right out of an internship at KDK. John Sanders was the man in charge down there. You might remember Eddie Alexander. Do you remember that name?
No.
He was involved. We called him Fast Eddie because he was pretty fast. He would never pay up on the bets that you needed him to pay up on. But people like that, you know, had an opportunity to work with Tom Goodgame, who was a tremendous general manager at the time. And he liked me. I liked him. We got together, talked a lot, and gave me an opportunity out of that to start. And I've been there for 43 years. But without that, who knows where that would have been. I can't do anything else, Joe. I don't know about you. I don't know what I'm doing.
The only thing I could do was write.
That's what I mean. If you didn't have a job in writing, what would you do?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's the same for
teach
me.
And coach, I guess. I wanted to be a teacher and a coach.
Well,
and
you're
have
still
been.
Doing
I've
that.
Been both of those, but not as my
full father,
time.
As a father, you're always a teacher. You're a 24/7 teacher.
That's true. Very true. And one other image I'll take of Rich is working in Station Square. If you ever went to Buco di Beppo, this would have been on the second floor, I think back behind the Pope's room, which is where, you know, that place was very special to my family. I had my wife's 50th surprise birthday party there, where I brought her dad in from Brockway and her son, Michael. He came and surprised her. I think he was at Penn State then. Our rehearsal dinner was at Buco di Beppo. But yes, long before that, this would take place every night. Joe Bendel could confirm this. I'd be like, Rich, I got to go. It's like 7 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock. I got to go. He's like, all right. He used to call me Milk because one time I answered the phone and just said Milk, and he thought that was funny, like birdseed, you know, that type of thing. So my nickname was Milk. Every single night, it'd be like, Rich, I got to go. He's like, all right, I'm just working on something, just a couple more minutes. And I would leave the last guy in that little room in the back of Buco di Beppo on the second floor was Rich, typing away, pecking away. And if I'm not mistaken, Bob, and I could be, but if I'm not mistaken, he had the two index finger typing style. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, with those old typewriters that if you made a mistake, you had to take the paper out and do it all over again.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's crazy how things have progressed. But yeah, I used to do that too. It's a little Columbus method, you know. Psh,
incredible.
Find it, land on it, get it.
Incredible. All right. Well, it's a big week around here because the Pirates open. We're going to get to Aaron Rodgers, especially if something breaks, although watching Good Morning Football today, it sounded Peter Schrager, who's been sort of on top of this story, is like, this could be another, you know, 2-3 weeks here.
And I expect that. I expect it not to be anytime soon. That's just the way Rodgers wants it. And I would be curious, not to get off tangent here if you're going to go in the Pirates direction, but that meeting last week of 6 hours,
yeah,
I wonder what 6 hours would have been like. You know, as they say, I'd love to be a fly on the wall and listen to the conversation. Was it just getting to know people more intently, or was it a deep dive into offensive philosophies, what I want to do, what you'll let me do, that kind of, I would have loved to have known it, but I do know this, that if Aaron Rodgers never had a chance to talk to Mike Tomlin, and this was the first really in-depth time, he came away impressed, if that's what it took. So, because that's the one thing Mike Tomlin, where he knows how to sell himself to anyone.
As long as he's saying things that Rodgers wants. Yes, I know what you mean.
Well, generally like, speaking, that's how, I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable speaker and you know, interpersonal
Yeah, but
guy.
You're right. I want to know what specifics
but
we're talking
change,
about with offense.
Can I change plays can at I call, the line? Yeah,
can I do that? And what if I decide I'm just going to go rogue on you? Are you going to be mad at me?
I mean... All right, Bob, since you opened that can of worms.
No, I didn't mean to.
I'm glad you did. I have a quick opinion. We'll get into more of it later. Is that better offensive minds than Artie Smith has Aaron Rodgers clashed with in his career? Mike McCarthy, a major one.
But they had a lot of success before it went wrong. You know,
they did, and that was a young Rodgers
right.
who wasn't, you know, didn't have a Super Bowl MVP
yet. There's also a young McCarthy, so as they got older, there's more of a clashing.
Well,
potential.
Then there was Guy Lafleur, who actually operates, you know, an adult NFL passing game. I mean, the best thing I see on Artie Smith's resume is some regular season success with Michael Jordan as his running back. I'm not taking that away from him. But what's he done since? Really? And I read from Jerry
Dulac.
Well,
A.J. Brown had a very good season with him as Tannehill as their quarterback. So they did get production. And I'm sure they used Derrick Henry as the reason.
Do you see a Derrick Henry around here? I see Kenneth Gainwell
saying,
and Jalen Warren.
That was the one thing he had, and he utilized it not just for the betterment of the run game, but also for their pass game.
He did, for sure. Everything was Derrick Henry centered, and that's on his resume, although not really in the playoffs, except for one win. But I question heavily whether that's going to be a happy marriage. I saw where Jerry Dulac said something about the meeting went well, and Artie's all on board with this. Yeah, everybody's on board with everything until it actually happens. I remember the day the Penguins got Erik Karlsson, and the headlines were Mike Sullivan thrilled to get Karlsson. And my response was, yeah, it's August 2nd. Everybody's thrilled now. How about when it's, you know, December 29th and they're playing a game in Calgary, and Carlson is doing what he does, which is creating scoring chances for both teams. Will he be that happy then? I don't know, Bob. I don't know about this, but we'll get back to it. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to happen?
Yes, eventually, but I don't think it's going to be this week. I could be wrong, but it's gone on long enough, and I still think that there's a lot to work out with regard to OTAs, minicamp, regular camp, things that Aaron Rodgers doesn't
want
to do.
Trips to Egypt, caving.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to want to do those
beach
things.
Walking, ayahuasca. There's a lot of things to work out here. Is that how you say that, Bob?
I think so.
Am I getting
that? I'm not going to say anything anymore.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Because Zeitgeist came along and I...
Oh, the Zeitgeist.
Oh, boy. Limits, how are you today?
Good.
I'm
decent.
Sad that you had to think about that.
Well, it's because with the changing weather, my voice goes at some point every year.
Does it get deeper when it goes?
It's getting deeper right now.
This is the time you need to go out and go to a bar and introduce yourself to some potential Mrs. Austin Bechtel.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Bob.
I agree with that 100%.
I just hope my voice holds up. That's all.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. Well, we just said it. We're going to get back to Aaron Rodgers. We're going to get a report from spring training. How was the party, by the way, that Crowley Pitty invited me to? And did he ever invite you, Bob, on Saturday?
No.
How'd that go?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was a good time. But I have something even better to share with you.
What?
Guess what I did yesterday?
What?
I saw the picture.
Did you see the picture, Bob?
Yep.
Pony and I went to Cleveland for the games.
What?
Yes. Pony and I drove back to the games.
Was that from a drunken evening the night before?
No.
Road trip time?
I think it was Wednesday. Pony was like, do you want to go to the games with me and Donnie on Sunday? And I was like, yeah, I would love to go. Now, Donnie eventually backed out, unfortunately. But Pony and I still went, and we had a really good time seeing the games.
What a nice bonding session. Now, tell me again which games they were.
It was St. Mary's against Alabama.
Yeah.
Michigan State played last night and won it against the Lobos of New Mexico.
Nice. And you and Pony bonded well? Who drove?
We bonded very well. I drove.
Wow. I didn't expect that. I thought Pony might be behind the wheel. Yeah. Driving Mr. Pony. I like that.
I was driving the Pony Express.
There you go.
That's pretty good. Well,
it was a great time. A lot of fun.
That's a nice arena, too. And if you're ever up there for a Cavs game, it's really spectacular the way they're having a great year.
Yeah, it's cool. So the big news to me, minus anything happening with Rodgers, is that the Pirates start their season on Friday in Miami. Thursday in Miami. I'm thinking Friday I'm going to see Ron Cook, perhaps, Bob.
That's right.
That's where my mind was. And what do we have here? What is going on here? Andy Rodriguez is suddenly a first baseman, and they're saying we waited until we named him?
Not just him, but Jared Triolo. You're going to spend some time over there, and Jared Triolo maybe in center field from time to time.
Yeah, because when I think center fielders, I think Jared Triolo. Bob, as I've said many times, they have more utility men than Duquesne Light. I mean, do they have anybody who plays a position and plays it well and normally and stays there? Let's start with the Andy Rodriguez thing here for a second. Is it logical to you to wait until you say a guy's going to play a position to have him practice that position? It seems highly abnormal to me. Perhaps I'm the crazy one. This reminds me of Broderick Jones. You know, yeah, you're right. Up, we'll throw you in the, or you're left, you're right, we'll throw you in the game at right. What are we doing here? Is he suddenly going to start? I know he's played a little bit of first base.
Yeah.
Would it have made more sense?
They'll play today in their final preseason game.
Well, he'll have one game under his belt then before the regular season.
Yeah, there was talk about Brian Reynolds moving over there. He took ground balls last year, late in the year. They don't have an answer. And this is strikingly crazy because it happens every year. They go through first baseman like nobody's business. I mean, they got every year there's a new first baseman. That's a position that you really need to sew up on a regular basis with someone who could hit 30 home runs, drive in 100, and play decent first base. And they haven't been able to find that person, or they haven't been willing to pay that person.
Well, they're hoping that Horwitz can be the guy. I understand that. But this whole Endy thing was really weird. And then Hank Davis, who's a number one overall pick, and I guess he tailed off later in spring training, well, he's going to start in AAA. Okay. I'm sure he's going to tear up AAA.
That's what he always does. Then he comes up. You got to give him a good look up here and just let him, operate freely.
Where, though?
Well, you could DH him twice a week. You could catch him.
What are you
going
to do? Why is McCutcheon here then?
Well, that's a good question anyway. I mean, he can't play a position. I can understand McCutcheon, and again, all due respect to Andrew McCutcheon, on a very good team that needs a hitter, you know, that is close.
He's a luxury.
For the Pirates,
yeah.
You need more than what you're going to get out of him.
I agree.
And
he's their cleanup hitter, or I saw him projected in one space as a leadoff hitter here. Again?
Right.
Limits.
Well, Tommy Pham, we'll see what he does.
Oh, God. Bob, what are they doing? I mean, Jackson Chourio's leading off for the Brewers, this 20-year-old budding superstar.
Who's already signed off to an 8-year contract.
We're going
to
go with We Are Family or Andrew McCutcheon as your leadoff guy? They're a combined 80 years old, almost.
It's a nostalgic thing that's going on in Pittsburgh sports. There are a lot of guys who've been around for a long time who continue to be around for a long time.
And that's not personal at all toward McCutcheon.
He is a Pirate. Hall of Famer, he's a legend, and everything he's done for this, everything. But there comes a time when the business supersedes all of this.
Right.
You have to look at it and say, we need a DH who can hit 35 home runs. That's what he's there for.
It just feels like, hey, look over here. Here's Andrew McCutcheon. And then behind the scenes, the Wizard of Oz isn't doing anything. There's nothing happening behind the scenes, but we'll give you this, you know, for the nostalgia tour, because we know you love Andrew. And then what? What kind of team do we have here? I think it's one that in this division I think the ceiling is that they'll hang around and play some meaningful games in September, and everybody will call in the organization will call that a win. Hey, we took a step here.
Meanwhile, not good enough.
I know it's
not
good enough.
This is year six. It has to be a playoff one way or the other. It has to. You have to be in the playoffs for this to be a successful season.
I agree with that. Now, if you had a great year and suddenly it took 93 games to get in the wild card, then we can talk. I think the division winner is going to be in the 80s. So I think that they could hang around. That's the ceiling. I just don't think they're very good. But the big news, I think the biggest news of all, is Paul Skenes talking to Alex Stump of MLB.com. Did you see that interview, mm-hmm. Bob?
Yeah, we ran it last night on the news because I thought it was very interesting. And he's 22 years old. He's already taken a leadership position on this team.
Sound to go with that interview?
No,
video?
Just quotes.
Just quotes, yeah. Okay, so here's what Skenes said. Great job by Alex Stump here, I might add. You know, he's supposedly going to take a bigger leadership role, all of that. He said, I think we owe something to the city. We owe a lot to the city, Skenes said. It's our job to go out and win for the city because this is bigger than all of us. There's a reason why Kutch keeps coming back, and it's specifically to Pittsburgh. There's something about this city. We saw it last summer. We've seen it in the videos of the wild card game. I'm tired of watching them because the bar needs to be set pretty high. Not taking anything away from those guys. The fact that that's a golden era of recent Pirates baseball, that needs to change. And then he said, again, we owe it to the city. What do we make of these comments, Bob?
Well, he should direct them specifically to ownership and say, that's what he's talking about.
Are you sure he's not? That would be my question. Are you sure
he's not? I don't know, but if he hasn't, he should, and they should listen to it and respect it. He's a 22-year-old kid who values what the city means to him and them. And that's how the ownership should feel after all these years. You support this baseball team. You need to do better. You got to figure out ways to have a better roster. They knew that coming in. They knew they would have a chance of having a very good pitching staff. Now, of course, the injury to Jared Jones notwithstanding, but they didn't do all that much to really address the offense, and they needed to.
They did almost nothing. And what I mean by that when I said, are you sure it's not? Are we sure these aren't thinly veiled comments about the ownership here? I think we owe something to the city. He said that four times. And then said, basically, the bar here is a wild card game. Like, that's the glory days around here? Is winning. Now, it was one of the greatest sporting events I've ever been to, but I get his point.
Yeah.
For sure. And, man, I also think, with those comments, he just told the world, I'm not going to be quiet about this. And I'm not saying he's going to rip ownership, you know, blatantly at some point. But he is not going to be quiet moving forward here.
Yeah, nor should he. If he believes what he believes, he has a right to say it. He's a guy who's going to go out there and he wants to pitch 200 plus innings. He wants to be a factor in them winning. Yeah. And if he suspects that that's not the way things are going around him, then he should say something. You know, we always talk about athletes not saying what they should say. You should respect honesty once you get it once in a while. And that doesn't mean you have to go out and undercut anyone. You just say what you think. And I think that's it's a very much a relevant point.
Now, there were two stories last week that we talked about, violently opposed in their conclusions. Dejan Kovacevic writing that the Pirates are losing money, the Post-Gazette writing that they're making money. At this point, I really don't care because
one knows for sure because they don't open up their books and show you.
They did open up some of them.
Not all of them.
No, not all of them. And both stories pointed out that this can be very complicated.
Right.
I don't care. They're not competing really in a financial sense when a market smaller than them in Milwaukee is outdoing them in payroll every year and outdoing them on the field every year. Numbers can be manipulated any way you want. I don't care anymore. Put a winning product on the field.
No, the only money that people should be interested in, Bob Nutting has every right to make money. I would never sit here and say, you don't have a right. That's your team. Fine. What I'm saying is the only money people, when they analyze this team, is the payroll. That's the only thing you should care about. That's the only dollars and cents I care about.
Yeah.
Where they put other monies, how it goes, that's their business model. They can do as they please. I just know that they're not spending enough on the major league roster.
The most important thing that came out to me of either story was Travis Williams, the team president, telling the Post-Gazette that if we increase the payroll from where it is, like increase the payroll as a way to sort of, you know, maybe even go into the red, increase payroll to be better in the long term, bring back more revenue in the long term. That's not a sustainable business model, is what he said. That's not a sustainable business model.
In regular business, yes, but in sports, you have to do it. If you're not willing to lose money to make money, then get out of sports.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would say.
Because the valuation of the franchise is not going anywhere but up. And ultimately, when they cash their cards in, whenever that may be, in the year 2090, and sell the team, he's going to make the valuation from $200 million to probably at that point $4 billion, the way things go. That's where you make your money. Look at the Boston Celtics. The guy bought it for $360 million. He sold it for $6.1 billion. And it brings everyone up with it. All the other teams in that marketplace will become more valuable because you're in that league. So all I care about is the payroll money. That's it.
That's all anybody cares about.
Yeah, so the rest of it doesn't, they have every right to make whatever they make. I'm never going to say no to that. I hope they're making a ton of money. They own the team. They have a right to make money. But they also have an obligation to make sure that you're doing what's right for the city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, a civic obligation. Right. He's a public steward, and that's the ballpark that we built. So Travis Williams, Mark Balco wrote in the Post-Gazette, basically rejected the notion of increasing payroll with the goal of generating revenue for more spending, which essentially is saying he's rejecting the idea of increasing payroll because it's not a sustainable business model and not responsible either. So what are we doing here?
Well, okay, what they have to do is make sure that their minor league system provides the necessary needs in the major league roster.
Does it look that way to you? Adam Frazier.
If you're failing there, then you have to go the other direction and spend to compensate for your failures. They are not doing either at this point. If you have to bring in Adam Frazier because you don't have enough people ready.
Adam Frazier, Tommy Pham.
York, Davis, all sent down.
Right.
Those are, and I don't care what kind of springs they had. They represent younger people you've brought in here. And at some point, you know, you have to develop them and play them. And if that's not working, then you go out and buy people that can actually do the job while your minor league system tries to reboot.
Jack Sawinski, we're still looking at here. Tell me that, and people have him starting or at least platooning in the outfield with Pham.
He had a pretty good spring. So.
So what?
Well, I'm just saying.
So what, Bob? That's one of the things that they're using to argue for these. So did Ji-Won Bae. You want to see him around here?
No, I don't know.
So did Matt Gorski. Why isn't he here?
If you're just looking at what their decisions come down to on this roster, what they've put out here, then you have to say, well, Jack Sawinski probably will be.
I disagree. Adam Frazier hit 176 in the spring. Why is he here?
Because, well, that's if you're trying to win. Well, here's another question. If you're trying to win now, if your goal is to start the season with every indication you want to try, you don't want to waste weeks or games or months.
Yeah.
So why is a 176 Adam Frazier here, other than he's a veteran and
I don't care.
Or the other situation is here. Why is Kyle Nicklaus not in the bullpen after a 2-2
season? Because he has options left, plain and simple.
Well, that's not trying to win now then.
I agree.
If you have options left, fine. Pack him away for later in case he struggles.
Yes.
Right now, he had more innings than any reliever, I think, in spring. And he still has, you know, issues of wildness, I get. But he's got a lively arm and could bring it at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I envision him one day as to be the closer.
I'm really...
If he's not on the team because of waivers, that's the wrong reason.
I agree with you. And I'm really confused on whether spring training matters or not. I keep seeing these references and stories like, oh, Endy outperformed Henry Davis in the spring. That's why he's on the team. Well, they both had, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't be, but they both had extremely limited at-bats. Were they facing the same kinds of pitchers? Who was hitting the ball harder? I don't know. I mean, Jack Sawinski won a job because of what he did in the spring. And Jiwon Bae is still around? Then why aren't we talking about Tommy Pham hitting 163 in the spring and Frazier hitting 176? Or Matt Gorski hitting 360 and leading the team in homers and RBIs?
That's another one I want to know. Why is Matt Gorski never getting a chance?
Did it matter or didn't it? I'm confused.
He's 27 or whatever he is. He's young enough. Play him at first base until Horwitz gets back, right?
Have we not seen enough of Jack Sawinski? I know what's going to happen. He might have a really hot month. And then he's going to wind up hitting about 200 with tons of strikeouts and looking completely bewildered at the plate. That's what's going to happen. Well, and then your bench is Adam Frazier and Jared Triolo and who else, Bob, on a given day.
Triolo may be starting at first base.
This might have been MLB.com. They put out a lineup and then said the bench will be Triolo, Frazier, and Tommy Pham. Combined, are they going to hit 300?
That's not a good bench.
It's a horrific bench, Bob.
And again, that goes back to spending on the roster. It has nothing to do with whatever profit you're making. It's about, and if you're, yeah, I do not agree with the notion that, well, and it goes back to what we've heard before from this franchise sometimes, is if you come out and support it and we're competitive, we'll spend. No, it's the other way around. We spend, you'll support us because we win.
Limits, tell me the difference between Brian De La Cruz and Jack Sawinski, other than the fact that one hits from the left side and one from the right side, because De La Cruz puts up better numbers at the major league level.
He did, other than when he was acquired by the Pirates and
even then.
The worst player that was acquired at the entire deadline
and
last
still
year.
Better than Sawinski, yes. But go ahead.
Yeah, you're splitting hairs. It's basically nothing. And something that Alex Stump pointed out today that I thought was really fascinating is that DJ Stewart is also not making the opening day roster. So is Endy Rodriguez just going to be the first baseman? They decided all of spring that he will catch, that Endy will catch and be the guy that is then ultimately the backup for Bart. If he was going to play some first base, why not give him some run and some reps at first base in games and spring training? I don't get it. He is today, but
Just had an audition with 97 people at first base, and in the end, they choose one of them to be one of the guys who wasn't among the 97.
Probably
Endy Rodriguez.
Endy Rodriguez. Probably him and Triolo. It'll end up being him and Triolo.
Triolo's a luxury. You know, on a good team, I could even see him on this team. He's a really good defensive player. You can afford to have one guy on your bench who can't hit, who's really good defensively. You can't have three.
And not when Kiner Falefa's a utility guy that's starting for you at shortstop.
What about DJ Stewart? I guess it mattered for him in the spring. He wound up in March hitting 138 with 12 strikeouts. We don't talk about O'Neill Cruz. He hit 190 this spring and struck out in half his at-bats. I guess it matters when it matters and doesn't when it doesn't. Yeah, Adam Frazier hit 176.
If you're going to tell me that Henry Davis, who got off to a good start, but then, you know, kind of slowed down afterwards, but he did get off to a good start. I'm still recognizing his pedigree as a number one overall pick, and I would rather have him on my roster right now than Endy Rodriguez, even though I like Endy Rodriguez or somebody else. He has to be on the roster, and I would give him as many DH at-bats as I can. Henry Davis,
yeah. This is a disaster, Bob, as I look up
but
and
I still
down
think
here.
Their pitching will keep them in a lot of games this year, and it will depend on whoever could come up with a hit in critical games. They're going to be in, Joe, they're going to be involved in a lot of one-run games.
Yeah, the bullpen one is going to be games. Gigantic. They don't even have a closer. He keeps saying they don't have a closer.
Yeah, but, you know, I would imagine, who's the guy who came on last year, did very, Dennis Santana. Dennis Santana is pretty good. He's been very good, if it's not Bednar for now.
Right now, the prediction here is Skeens, Keller, Bailey, Falter, Heaney, and Harrington.
And Harrington would take the place of Jared Jones, so we still don't have an official word on that.
No. Or Carmen Majinski might be that guy. I don't know.
But he'll be a five-inning guy, whoever it is.
I can't believe I'm looking at the projected outfield, and it's Jack Sawinski with Cruz and Reynolds. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it, Bob.
Believe it.
Limits? Tommy Pham and Sawinski in left field?
I'm baffled. Like it could have been Alex Verdugo, even that you throw out there, who I know strikes out a lot, but I just don't get the notion of why you're running Sawinski out there again.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Bob, a man by the name of Joey Bag of Donuts on X, it goes Joey Bag of Donuts.
Yeah, he's you know, one of those guys who's on Twitter all the time. I noticed.
And so when I say of, it's OV, so it's Joey Bag OV Donuts. You can see the brackets here. It's the Pittsburgh Media March Madness. Yeah. It's happening. Voting starts today.
He's done it for a lot of years.
Yeah.
So.
He has. There's a Heinz Field, PNC Park, PPG Paints Arena, and Three Rivers Regionals. And it's the same as the NCAA tournament, 1 through 16 seeds, and that people advance on voting. So we're going to take a look periodically through the show at these different brackets. Why don't we start with the Three Rivers Stadium bracket, Bob?
Okay.
some early interesting matchups. Cale Berger. Drew Mark Madden, that's a 1 and a 16. I don't think that's going to go well for Cale unless it's a hate vote, and then he may spring an upset that we've never seen before.
I think Mark's been pretty strong on these kind of things over the years, so that's a tough matchup for sure.
Yeah. Who else do? Oh my God. Oh, my God. At the bottom of the bracket, a legendary 2 and 15, Mark Cabali. The Cabalian Mongoose against City Limits.
Ooh,
first time
it.
In the field, Bob.
I made the field.
He's Mount St. Mary's in this field.
He's got a 15 seed mentality, too. He's coming after Mark.
I feel like RMU against Alabama. Maybe I'll make a push, but ultimately, I don't think it'll be enough.
I think you have a shot in that game.
Ooh.
Bob, do you?
Can
think
I be
City
St.
Limits
Peter's?
Could upset Cabali
Mark has a very strong following, you know, so that's a tough one, but Hey, the fact that just getting into the field means something. You know that, Austin.
I'm very excited to be in the field.
If I could watch one of these matchups, that would be number two. You know what would be number one at the bottom of the bracket? Benzie as a sixth seed against Donnie Football. Oh, my God, wow. What a matchup. Donnie at an 11 seed, if he beats Benz, he's going to face a veteran, either Bob Labriola of Steelers.com or Joe Rutter of the Trib. I think Donnie may make his way all the way to the Sweet 16 and maybe the Elite Eight, Bob. I really do. He's got a shot.
Donnie's on a roll, yes. And who knows how long do you have to vote?
I don't know. Is any voting up now?
Has this started? If you click the one of the buttons, you can see what the results are.
Oh wow. Do we have early results on you and Kabali?
I have not voted yet. I don't want to see what the results are yet. I don't want to see
how much I'm getting crushed. I want an early vote.
All right, here we go. I'll click it.
Bob, this is exciting.
Are you ready, Bob?
I'm ready.
So I'm guessing.
I'm voting for myself.
Okay.
I think you have a chance at an upset. I'm going to say you're carrying.
Oh, I'm getting killed by Kabali.
What's the percent?
78-22.
All right, check on. Okay. Oh, boy. He's getting blown out.
Comebacks
in round one.
Happen too.
250 votes out there. I might have to rally the vote.
You're done.
I might have to rally the vote.
You had a good year.
Text all my friends.
You got to the tournament, and that's about all I can ask.
I'm glad I got to the tournament.
Bob, is it an underrated matchup? Matt Williamson from over at, I think, the Steelers against Dan Kingerski as a dangerous 13.
Yeah, I mean, both those guys are well into what they do. They go deep diving, and so if you read a lot of it, they're both very good at it. So that could be a 50-50 matchup until the end. Who knows?
I'll tell you who else might move along in the bracket here. I think she does great work over at DK. That's Taylor Haas on the Penguins. She defeats Chris Adamski, and she goes head-to-head with Kabali. And I think that's a hell of a matchup.
Wait a minute, you already have Kabali in there. Limits is done.
I'm done.
You don't come back from 78%, 200 votes in.
My obituary's done.
Bob. That's it's 57.
March Madness.
It's 57.
You get those Cinderella stories once in a while.
It's 57-13 at the half. He ain't coming back from.
You don't know that. Maybe I'll send it out to people that I know to vote. Maybe we will stuff the ballot box for me.
I hope you know a lot of people. Also, a Dale Lally Mike Vakovkan matchup, Bob. A 5 and a 12.
Wow,
worth watching.
Yeah. 12s are dangerous, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm going to pick Donnie Football as an 11 seed to go all the way to the Final Four here. How do you like that? Three Rivers Stadium.
Wow. NC State last year as an 11 seed.
We could be looking at an epic matchup in the Elite Eight. I think Donnie Football makes a run. Can you check on him and Benz right now?
Yes.
Everybody can vote on all these right now? Limits?
Yeah.
You used to do two separate polls, one with sports people and then news and regular other people.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever won one of these things, Bob?
Three of them, yes.
You what?
You ask a question, that's the answer.
I'm sitting across from maybe the tournament. Is he a one? Are you a one seed in this?
I haven't seen it.
Of course he's a one seed.
I was
seed.
A one seed.
I'm a five seed. That hurts, Limits.
The 12-5 upset for you, Joe. Here it comes.
Do you have an update on Benzie and Donnie
Football? There's a lot of tweets out here.
Bob, we'll get to the rest of that, including who you're matched. You have a very interesting first-round matchup, I might add.
Tell me, because
Oh, boy.
Who?
What?
Donnie Football's getting beat by Benzie right now.
What?
62-38%.
Oh, my God, Benzie.
Well, Benzie's good. He's been around for a long time, so that's a tough matchup right off the bat.
I'm stunned at that result. Congratulations to Benzie.
I got to give Joey here, Bag of Donuts, a little credit for all the work he puts into this, because this has been a yearly thing for him, and it's a lot of work because he has to keep updating all this stuff. So,
I'm getting the votes rallied.
What happened? The text line
says, "Share the link and we will go vote for you, Limits."
Oh,
how about
Limits
that?
Limits could make a comeback.
Come back on Kabali.
Bob, I've got a tough first round matchup up in the Heinz Field bracket. I'm going against a man who's flat out nicer than me, Jerry DePaula. I draw in the first round.
We just saw Jerry last week at. The baseball card castle, remember?
Yes, and then the winner of that game goes up against the winner of Missy Matthews against Gormy the Owl. Missy Matthews, great at what she does. Also very popular, I think. Works for the Steelers. I think I'm in trouble if I get by Jerry. I think Missy's going to beat me.
Missy has a big following. She's very good and well-respected in what she does. So that could be tough. But, Joe, you have a big following, too.
No, I don't.
Don't underestimate your power.
Look at this. I'm a pathetic five seed, and she's going to advance to the Elite Eight. She's going to beat Gormy the Owl and then me, and she's going to advance. Oh, my God, Bob. How's this for a matchup, Limits? You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Get ready for a little calliope here.
Uh-oh.
Adam Crowley against Joe Block as an 8-9 seed, Bob. We're going to find out a lot about Crowley's popularity in round one, aren't we? Who are you picking in that?
Hmm. Come on, you got to pick Crowley. We got to go with
Bob?
Our guy.
Do you pick Crowley in that one? I think Block has a real chance to advance.
Who's he up against again?
Joe Block and Crowley.
Well, Joe Block's been around now for several years. I still think Crowley will win that one.
Yeah.
Wait, where was Doran on the list? Did he make the field?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's in the field. How about in my bracket, Colby Armstrong is a one seed, Bob, and he has a hockey matchup with Jay Caulfield. Jay's only a 16 seed. He's going to be fighting mad, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think he may upset Colby in round one.
I think, yeah, that's a good matchup right there. We just remember, Jay back into a corner. He comes out swinging.
An entire nation looks forward to 215. Get this. Josh Yoey as a two seed against Dan Potash. Underseeded as a 15, no?
Wait a minute. Dan's a 15 seed?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Agree with that, Limits, that he's underseeded?
Yeah, he's definitely underseeded.
Yeah, I think he's...
Definitely. He's Come on, committee, what are you
popular,
doing?
I got an
popular.
Upset here. I got an upset in the first round. The Paddy Wagon, Pat Bostick, as a 14 seed, matched up against a wily veteran in Jerry Dulac. What do you think happens there, Bob?
Well, that's a tough one, I think, for Pat. I love Pat and what he does, but, I mean, Jerry has years of experience doing this with what he does in terms of breaking stories for the Steelers.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's a tough one to handicap.
Let's see what else we have here as we go.
I often wonder what happens if there's a 50-50 split.
I got one for you.
What?
Ray Fittipaldi against Jeff Hathorn in a 12-5 game.
A nice men matchup.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Bob, who's ever nicer wins there, and I don't know who to pick.
Yeah, I don't know. How about what happens if it's 50-50?
Bob,
what is a tiebreaker?
That can't happen. I'm sure he would just send it to overtime. Bob, you drew a very, very interesting first round game.
Which means you're probably losing.
You better be ready to play. Because this is somebody who has emerged, in my opinion, as a really good journalist who asked great questions of Tomlin. You are matched up against a 16 seed Ashley Liotis.
Yeah,
Ashley, what a matchup, Limits.
That's
Ashley's
good.
Ashley's very good, and I like her a lot, too. So.
And guess who Bob plays if he advances as people expect?
Who?
The winner of Doran Dickerson and Alan Saunders.
Oh, boy.
Bob, you're going against
umbrella.
Dickerson head-to-head in round two. Well,
thank God it's not on the field. I wouldn't last.
And you know who's going to be waiting for you if you keep advancing?
No.
Max Starks.
Max, another nice guy who's very good at what he does, too. Very, very loquacious.
Yeah. You might be in trouble, Bob, but I think you get all the way, certainly to the Elite Eight, where you could be looking at, the bottom of that bracket. I don't know. Who are we looking at? Josh Getzoff? Arthur Motes is a three seed? And then the winner of Seth Rohrbaugh and DeFabo. Bob, I think the coast, no offense to anybody out there, but I think the coast is clear for Bob to get to another Final Four.
Probably, yeah.
He's like Calipari, isn't he?
Italian and likes to eat spaghetti.
Oh, my God. Look at this matchup. You ready in the PPG Paints Arena bracket? We could be looking. If Filippone as a two seed gets by Joe Brand as a 15, Bob, guess who he might have to face? I think this is unfair, really, to Pony.
Hillgrove.
Yes.
Yeah. But you said
Hillgrove as a two seed in the second round?
That'll be tough.
What's who's he doing now? What's his first round matchup?
Joe Brand.
Okay. Who's winning? Can you look? Did you vote?
Now, Filippone again could lose on a hate vote, but he also might win on a hate vote. That's sort of the whole thing.
He could win on a hate vote?
Yeah. Rob Rossi lurking as a three seed. Again, the love and hate thing is out there. And then a very intriguing matchup, Molinari against Phil Bork in Old Time Hockey Guys.
How about that one? Hall of Famer, Dave Molinari.
Gets a six seed, which doesn't make any sense to me when Borky's an 11. I think we could be looking at Bill Hillgrove against Borky for a spot in the Final Four, Bob.
That would be a tough one.
Be a hell of a ball game, wouldn't it?
There are a lot of good people here, you know, and I guess it just depends on who you like over the other.
Bob, how about this? The 5-12 Joe Starkey, Jerry DePaula matchup. The results are in. 300 votes. It's not even close. An absolute slaughtering. Joe Starkey running away with it with 76%.
I advance.
So that's already over?
No. There's still a whole day to vote.
I don't give Jerry much of a chance.
What was the breakdown again? What the what?
76% for Joe.
I played well. Yeah, I played well in this game.
The savvy old news now, and he gets his opinions out there.
Bob, we could be looking at one hell of a matchup here in the second round. If Jason Mackey gets past, is it Mike Esty? Yeah. And Mulsey gets by Batko, which is questionable for Mulsey as a five seed. We're looking at a Mulsey-Mackey second-round matchup.
Ooh.
I think you send, who's your number one crew these days for CBS?
Ian Eagle.
Ian Eagle's heading to that one, baby.
That's where Raftery's going.
Yeah, that's where Raftery's going, Bob. Mackey and Mulsey, who do you want to win?
Well, I mean, I like both guys. You're asking me, who would I wouldn't be surprised if either one. I know Chris has a big following here. And Jason does too. And Jason's done some good reporting. I hate to answer these questions because I like everyone involved.
I know.
Everybody I see that you're describing, I have good relationships with.
I know. I have bad relationships with bunches of these people. Dayon draws Rob King as a 16 seed in the first round.
Wait a minute.
Does Kinger have a chance to spring the first upset ever?
Why is he a 16 seed?
I don't know. How does Rob King come in as a 16?
Yeah.
If I'm Dayon, I'm petitioning the committee here.
How do these seeds get established is what I want to know.
Joey Bag of Donuts picks him himself.
I'll have to ask Mr. Bag of Donuts.
I think Dayon could be in trouble in round one, Bob. And even if he gets by him, he's looking at probably Jenna Harner if she gets by Andrew Stocky, which I think she will.
That's an interesting matchup, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob should be higher. He shouldn't be a 16 seed.
Yeah, I think if there's anybody who should be outraged at the seeding, it's Rob King.
Yeah.
And Jay.
Yeah, both.
Jay has a 16 seed. The two golf partners both come in as 16 seeds. It's an outrage.
Yeah, they should be way up higher than that.
So you can vote. Go to Joey Bag of Donuts on X and your votes, man. Who's winning the, just out of curiosity, Missy Matthews, Gormy the Owl matchup?
Missy Matthews.
I'm in trouble in round two, aren't I?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe eliminated in the round of 32.
I'm looking at last year's bracket. Donnie was a 14 seed. So he's gone from 14 to 11. How about the rise for Donnie?
Man, would I like a piece of Crowley in the Elite Eight, Bob? I really would. I don't know how I get by Missy Matthews in the round of 32. I'm in desperate trouble. Nobody dislikes her, and at least 40% of the people hate me, Bob.
Yeah, but you write good columns. People love your thought process. There's a lot to be made up
there.
No,
I'm done. I'm done. Couldn't Gormy the Owl have given her a better game than that?
You're acting like it's over. There's still another 24 hours to vote.
Limits. Unless it's under 60%, the game's over.
Absolutely. Don't know that. You don't know that.
And I got to deal with, even if I win, I'm probably dealing with Colby Armstrong.
Or
Crowley.
That's tough.
Of anybody in this field, I'm curious how Crowley is received by the populace, aren't you?
He should be well received. Why wouldn't he? He does a morning radio show.
I,